This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman.
This is George Newbern, the voice of Superman.
And you're listening to the DCAU Review, hosted by Cal and Liam.
Streaming at DCAUReview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
There is an alien among us. A superior being from a place called Krypton. Deep in the heart of the city, he watches for signs of danger. Ready to act on a moment's notice. His true name is Kal-El. You know him as Superman.
Maybe you ladies haven't heard about me.
The future of Metropolis is in the hands of the Man of Steel. Get up!
Superman!
Get up.
He's gonna be busy.
I said get up.
Superman.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 265 of the DCAU Review. I am one of your hosts, Cal. With me, my good friend, good brother, the man that runs our Twitter account. It's Liam. Liam, we are continuing here with the dwindling content left with our Superman the Animated Series reviews. We are covering what wraps up a trilogy of episodes featuring one of Superman's maybe most classic and well-known villains. And this week he's joined by another villain that was sort of infamous, certainly based on his appearances in the comics and Super Friends cartoon, but really made a lasting impression in our first review and his first episode appearance of Superman the Animated Series. Welcome to episode 265 of the DCAU Review.
That's right, we are back, and this is a loaded one to talk about. This is I know this is infamously one that that Bruce Timm and Paul Dini themselves weren't super high on, despite having worked on the episode, Mr. Dini being the one of the writers credited to the episode. So we'll be interested to get into this Little Big Head Man episode, as you said, teaming up two classic Superman villains. But does the whole add up to more than the sum of its parts? Let's get into it and find out.
That is right, Liam. Before we do that, of course, we are going to get the official IMDb synopsis for this week's episode, which originally debuted here in the United States on the Kids WB back on November the 21st, 1998, meaning we are coming up here in just a few short months on the 25th anniversary of this episode's debut. And before we get to that official IMDb synopsis, we must, of course, remind you that it is brought to you, as it is each and every week, by the Pod Tower. If you're a fan of all things DCAU, DC Animated Universe, podcasts, or all of the above, I invite you to check out The Pod Tower by heading over to youtube.com/The Pod Tower today, where you can get a bevy of different podcasts, some wonderful programming, including the podcast from our friends at Watchtower Database, Jump on the Batwagon, which features right now some reviews. They believe they are still reviewing Batman the Animated Series each and every week. They're winding down Batman the Animated Series. And then additionally, besides size jump on the bat wagon. You can also check out the entire Tim Talk catalog, which means you can hear their review of this very same episode if you care to hear their opinions on it. And of course, it also features our own catalog. Perhaps you're listening to it this episode on that very station. We invite you, head over to youtube.com/thepodtower and subscribe today.
That is right. So this is the official synopsis for Little Big Head Man, which was written by Paul Dini and Robert Goodman, directed by Shinichi Tsuji, with music by Christopher Carter and animation by TAC Co. and Jade Animation. And I'm sorry, Group TAC Co. And Jade Animation. And that synopsis reads as such. In an attempt to sidestep his agreement to stay away from the third dimension, Mr. Mixius Spitlick, it's hard to do that in the voice, Mr. Mixius Spitlick convinces Bizarro to return to Earth and attack Superman.
All right.
Pretty solid. I give that a B plus.
Yeah, that's not terrible, all things considered. Let's jump right in at that. I'd give it a B. I think it's a B. B's get degrees, so good job this week, IMDb synopsis writers. But we will get into our own synopsis as we try and break down things in a little bit more detail here. As we open things up here, and we quickly realize that while the theme song playing out of key, that we are once again reunited with our favorite backwards reverse Superman, that being, of course, Bizarro, and he is flying over his own version of a city for him to protect, something that somewhat resembles Metropolis, made out of rocks and trees and different alien growths. As we see, he's created his own little city to patrol, and everything seems to be going great until, wouldn't you know it, a rock suddenly comes out of nowhere, of course, being pushed down the hill by our titular hero, or at least hero in this moment, Bizarro himself, causing his own damage. And he gets to have a little fun using his imagination, saving some citizens from certain doom. But as he looks around, he sees there's much more destruction caused by the rock that he allowed to go past this quote-unquote citizen tree that he was saving. But he's not too worried about it. As you can see, that he's quite content living on this planet.
Me see no trouble. Me world am good. Man in danger, me save you. You be okay now. Ooh. Oh, well, me save more people tomorrow.
He goes to his own version of the Fortress of Solitude once he's done saving the day, and is greeted by Crypto the Superdog, who if you remember, was an alien creature that Superman gave to Bizarro as a sort of gift and a companion to keep him on this planet when Superman left him there at the end of our prior interaction with Bizarro. And he also has his own set of people to interact with. He has his parents. He has a Lex Luthor rock stand-in, complete with a bald, shiny pearl head and a leafed tie. And then he has his own rock princess, a Lois Lane made out of rocks as well, with leafy hair that he is happy to see. And he sits down to watch television on his rock couch, his ice television, and is disgusted to find yet again more reruns for him to watch. But it is at this moment that we realize that he won't be sitting on the couch for long, as we hear a quite familiar, loud, shrieking voice pop in at that moment to reveal just who our true adversary for the episode will be.
Another day complete. Time to relax. Aww. Reruns again.
This is so sad! I can't take it anymore!
Who there? Where are them boys from?
The greatest hero in the universe! Reduced to saving rocks and playing house! If I stayed quiet one more second, I'd need a colossal barf bag!
Ha! Huh. You funny little big head man.
Mr. Mixia's Spitlick at your service.
Mr. Mizzy Blizzy?
Don't bother. You'll give yourself a hernia. Just think of me as your guardian angel. You see, Rocky, I've had my eye on you for a while. And, brother, did you get a raw deal from that lunkhead Superman?
But Superman and friend. He give me planet to protect.
Wrongo! Superman played you for a chump, chum.
That's right. So we get the reintroduction of Mixia's Spitlick, who quickly makes a beeline for Bizarro and alerts him that that he's upset that he's watching, as he calls Bizarro, the world's greatest or the galaxy's greatest superhero, resigned to playing house and, you know, fake saving fake civilians, and begins to try to explain to Bizarro that Superman betrayed him and fooled him to get him to come to this barren world, and that he was just trying to get rid of him, and even using his magic fifth dimension powers creates a real television with a weird little cartoon on it of Superman, Lex Luthor, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, and Supergirl just laughing it up at Bizarro's expense, which hurts Bizarro to his core. And so he decides he's going to fly back to Earth and give Superman what for, but he can't fly. Or he can fly, he can't breathe in space, as we've established on Absolute Power Review earlier this season. At this point, You need to have oxygen to breathe in space. That changes later in Justice League, I think.
Uh-huh.
But currently, even Kryptonians or Kryptonian-based clones need air to breathe. And so Mixie thankfully can teleport Bizarro right to Earth, where he begins to kind of just smash through various buildings and vehicles in a quest to find Superman. And Mixie, once again intervening, tells him he has a little bit of an idea that perhaps he might find Superman at a specific building in Metropolis, and points Bizarro towards the Daily Planet, where we cut to Clark and Lois discussing a maniac in a Superman costume apparently tearing up the city, and Lois saying that if she didn't know any better, she would think it was Bizarro, at which point, with timing not unlike the Kool-Aid man himself, he busts through the wall demanding Superman, and of course goes right after Lois once again, who was also in that doctored videotape, so he's also very upset at Lois. Superman, of course, still in his Clark Kent disguise, has to do some quick thinking here, and so he tries to physically accost Bizarro and gets Bizarro to throw him out of a window, which allows him to fly down and do a quick change into Superman and save Lois from any further harrowing encounters with Bizarro for the rest of the episode. And so we get some brief battles through the city, and as Bizarro is kind of getting the best of Superman, Mixie kind of reveals himself to Superman that he's behind all of this, and Superman points out that that he had promised after their previous encounter to never again appear on Earth, but Mixie is trying to do a bit of lawyering here and is trying to sidestep the contract by claiming that all he did was claim that he would never try to interfere with Superman directly, ever again. But in this case, he can't be held liable due to the fact that it's Bizarro who's actually the one attacking Superman.
Vixius Pitlick, I thought you promised to stay away from Earth forever.
No, no, no. I only said I wouldn't come back and bother you. And I'm not! Old Rockhead here is.
And I can guess who got him riled up.
Now, I may have said a word or two in passing, but you really can't blame me for... I should be selling this to Cable.
Mixie feeling quite smug about himself. They break into a local museum. Lots of dinosaur bones and cavemen on display. We'll talk more about that in visuals. And at that point, Mixie, while he's just enjoying the heck out of this fight, he gets a familiar visitor who is trying to set him on the right path before it's too late.
That's right. It's his girlfriend or lady friend or wife, or I'm not sure what she is, but Gispy, his love interest, shows up, and she's there to remind him. She's sort of playing his conscience, but is more or less there to remind him that he is in violation of his promise to not tamper with Superman and that he's tempting fate. She mentions the tribunal not being happy with him, and Mixie continues to downplay exactly what he's doing, saying that he really doesn't fear them. He's not really concerned about them. And before he can continue about doing what he's doing, he and Gispy are brought before this mysterious tribunal, which happens to be three guys that look sort of like Mixie Spitlick, but with beards and glasses, with one of them sort of resembling like a Sigmund Freud version of Mixie Spitlick.
Such conduct is completely unbecoming to the superior beings of the fifth dimensional land of Zerp.
If it please your honor, I present documented proof the defendant suffers from a chronic psychological fixation and should not be considered accountable for his actions.
Go, girl!
Furthermore...
Silence! Gispy? Yoo-hoo! I'm dead. Look, guys, what the tree here said is right. I can't help if I keep goofing on that big lock Superman. It's what I do. I don't need punishment. I need understanding. You know how it is. Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly. I've gotta bug that jerk till I die. Or he does.
But, they're there to lay down the law, pun intended, as they're putting him on a quick trial, telling him that he's interfering, he's going against interdimensional law, interfering with beings that are less than, and despite Gispy's attempt to defend him, showing up as a Bruce Timm pinup lawyer, she is downplayed, and
she stole Janet the DA's pantsuit, by the way.
Did. Yeah, that's apparently that's the official uniform of all attorneys in the they're female attorneys, I suppose. But the tribunal doesn't want to hear from her, turns her into a palm tree, and continues about their case, sentencing Mixie to 90 days of what Superman will later call essentially community service. They demand that he goes back to Earth and that he spend 90 days there. Mixie, again, not worried at all, says that he'll be running the place in a couple of hours, but there is, of course, a caveat, a catch to all of this. His sentence is to Earth, back to that dimension, but he must serve his 90 days without his powers. And after 90 days, if he has done one act of kindness or one good deed, then they will proceed with restoring him back to the fifth dimension and providing him with his powers back. But Mixie's gonna have to go it without his powers. So he, of course,
I just want to mention in this, because as you mentioned, Gispy kind of tries to act as his lawyer and makes this case that he's like sort of just pathologically obsessed with Superman and he can't help himself. And instead of like trying to come up with like a better reason or looking for sympathy, I just love how much Mixie doubles down on that. He's just like, yeah, that's right. I hate him. I hate him. I don't have a good reason to, but I hate him. Oh, he's about truth, justice, and the Miller's way. He's a bum. He's, right. He's like, he is the number one hater in all of the DCAU is Mixie Spitlick.
Oh yeah, Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Truth, Justice, and the American Way. Ha! He's a bug, you hear me? A bug! He sickens me.
Enough!
I love the unapologetic hating that going on in that scene and how he's just ranting and raving like a lunatic about how he hates Superman just because.
Yeah, it's funny because Gisby tries, like you said, she tries to present this evidence that he's mentally, you know, that he has a mental issue, and he's just like, he's after the tribunal has no interest in hearing that argument. He's just like, yep, it's true. I hate the guy. And of course it is, all of that is made even better by the vocal performance, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But all that is definitely maybe the highlight sequence of the entire episode for sure. But as we continue, as we said, Mixie is sentenced to Earth, sent back without his powers, and he is sent back right in the middle of the battle between Superman and Bizarro as they continue their fight in the museum. And Mixie is happy once he arrives, saying that it's not going to matter that much. He just hopes that he didn't miss out on anything. He arrives back in the museum just as one of the giant dinosaurs falls over. It looks like maybe the giant dinosaur from the first season of Superman, perhaps, maybe the same dinosaur, I don't know. But the dinosaur head falls off and lands, essentially devouring Mixie as it lands, and we get some more Looney Tunes style humor as he screams "Ah, nuts!" as he's now trapped inside the mouth of the dinosaur head. But that's the rest of that sequence continues as Superman and Bizarro end up leaving the museum. And get thrown into Superman eventually gets thrown into some electrical lines and electrical towers. Bizarro just beats him over and over in the back with a steel beam that had fallen off of one of these towers. And there's some brutal fisticuffs that occurs here because we have two super beings going at it. But Superman also, as we'll talk about maybe in visuals here, gets tied up into the electrical lines. And it appears at this point that Superman is done for as Bizarro continues to sort of take advantage of his weakened state after he's been electrocuted by this high voltage, and Bizarro is really taking over. But thankfully, Maggie Sawyer and the MCU show up just in time with some really overpowered weapons.
That's right. And this is a kind of a fun trivia note. I think they mention it in one of the season 3 DVD extras. We've talked about it quite a few times before, that what ended up being the series finale of Superman Legacy, where Superman is taken over by Darkseid and attacks the Earth, was originally meant to be a season premiere, but that there were some technical issues and things that pushed it later, and then they didn't get picked up for another season, so it ended up kind of being the end of it all. But I think in one of those, I think Bruce Timm and Paul Dini mentioned there was some dialogue that was cut from this episode, this being Little Big Head Man, where maybe the cops had these weapons because of the events of Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, the idea of Superman having to kind of come into conflict even indirectly with law enforcement again. So that was kind of going to be a part of that next season. They hoped to tell the story of Superman kind of slowly rebuilding the trust of the people of Earth that they never got to tell. So a fun little trivia note here, that that whole sequence, and maybe that's the unexplained origins of these weapons, which doesn't really work anymore because Legacy happens afterwards. But but I think that's still the intention of where they got these giant sonic cannon things that are just really tearing Bizarro apart to the point where he's running away from all of the SCU.
That's where my brain went. I mean, my thought was, I was like, oh, did they use these in the Legacy episode? It didn't dawn on me that Legacy initially canonically was, or yeah, was supposed to take place before this episode. So it would, in a way it was, but obviously didn't end up being that way. So very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's any canon timeline reason why this couldn't, even though it aired before, why this couldn't have happened after Legacy. So we could still headcanon that if we want, I think.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it makes sense. Why else would the MCU have weapons that were able to affect both Superman and Bizarro in such an incredible fashion like these?
And we should also just say, as has been a recurring theme since literally the very first episode of the show, this is the first time we've ever had a competent SWAT team in an episode of the DCAU review.
You know what? 265 episodes in, we have a first. Wow, that's a valid point there. Gotta love that. But yeah, after the SCU does end up arriving there and using these weapons, they get the upper hand against Bizarro. Superman still entangled in the electrical lines. It appears that they're going to be left with little to no choice but to finish off Bizarro as they light up the cannon one more time. But just as they fire it, Superman frees himself from the wires, flies in between them, and saves Bizarro, thus showing Bizarro that Superman does care for him.
One more blast and he's dust.
I guess there's no other option. Do it. Hold your fire. You okay?
That thing's got a kick.
You save me. Why?
Because I knew Mixie tricked you. If it makes you feel better, he's done it to me. A lot. Now do you believe I'm not your enemy?
Sorry.
I accept your apology. And just to prove there are no hard feelings.
What, this?
A peace offering. That'll keep him quiet till I can fly him home.
But Superman explains that they're friends, that he knows that Mixie tricked him, and that Mixie had tricked Superman in the past before providing a smoke grenade to Bizarro that I guess featured some knockout gas. I'm not sure, but the gas grenade knocks Bizarro out, allowing Superman to fly him back to his home planet. And we get a bit of a comedic postscript here as we learned that Superman flew Bizarro back to his planet, but despite Mixie's attempts at saying "Kiltipsy's him," he's told Superman that he's stuck here on Earth. Explains to him his sentence and offers to press his cape for him, but Superman has a different idea for Mixie's sentence.
That's right. So Mixie will be doing 90 days on Bizarro's home world. And he's now the official guy who resets the playing field, so to speak, before Bizarro rolls that big boulder down the hill to create the havoc that he needs to save the good rock people of Bizarro's world. Mixie is now the official setter of that of that playing field. And right as Mixie is about to quit on his first day and give it up, out comes once again the terrible, vicious monster that also is the DCAU's version of Crypto. comes snarling back and running at Mixie, who runs up a tree to save his day. We have a very Looney Tunes style ending to this.
Oh, for sure.
Not surprisingly, perhaps based on who's involved and which characters are involved and who wrote the episode. But yes, we see we fade to black on Mixie darting up a tree away from this weird alien dog as we actually cut to Superman watching this on his TV screen in his fortress and declaring that life am good as we wrap it up for this week.
Yeah, All right. So I will say it's interesting. I think the comment that that I read, and you mentioned it at the top, that Bruce Timm and Paul Dini, I think on the original track on the DVD, they did a commentary track, and they mentioned that while this looked good on paper, they were not necessarily pleased with the outcome, felt that it was obnoxious in some way, shape or form. I do agree with them. It is an interesting concept on paper. Mixy, Bizarro, he tricks Bizarro, because you didn't, like, after those first couple episodes, you couldn't make Bizarro like evil anymore. He's just sort of this naive guy, right? Doesn't know any better, easily manipulated, easily tricked. We don't want to see that continue to it's hard to come back from that. Like, you can't make him straight up evil again. So the fact that he's being manipulated again this time by this interdimensional being that, as we mentioned, was maybe one of the seminal episodes of this entire series, off the wall, goofy tone wise, you bring back that character. Yeah, that all sounds like it could be a fun thing. As far as execution is concerned, I think by disarming Mixy and making him sort of get his penance not from Superman, or his comeuppance not from Superman, and ultimately this tribunal that we had never seen, heard of, or talked about before, and you have this scene sort of shoehorned in the middle where it sets up the ultimate ending of him being the subservient to Bizarro, it feels a little weird. I don't know that it worked completely. I don't hate this episode. I still think that there's a lot of fun to be had. It is straight up Superman punching Bizarro for, you know, the scenes essentially that take place halfway through the episode, maybe 10 minutes into the episode. You start this fight between Superman and Bizarro, and then it pretty much goes the rest of the episode until you get the break with the tribunal, and then you get more fighting, and then you get the little postscript. So there's not a lot to it. A lot of it relies on the vocal performances that we'll talk about. A lot of it, you know, sort of hinges on some of the funnier gags that they ended up going with. But I didn't hate it. I laughed a couple of times. I think that there's enough entertainment to be had, and it's a simple 22 minute story that didn't feel boring, didn't feel dragged at any point, to me at least. So I ended up giving plot a 7 out of 10 for this episode. What about you?
Yeah, so I thought I actually came with the exact same score of 7 out of 10, for much the same reason. I liked this one more than I remembered liking it, you know, whenever the last time I watched this, which I think maybe I watched it once when the DVDs first came out, but it's not one that's been in heavy rotation even before we started doing our show. So I think this is pretty enjoyable. The best stuff in it is, as we'll talk about later, is the Mixy Spitlick character in this episode. I think is really fun, as just trying to find a loophole so that he can just mess with this guy that he hates so much. And then making him, you know, spell out in what is basically a court of law that he doesn't really have. There's no darker, deeper origin story for why he hates Superman. He just hates him. He just hates who he is. He hates how he looks. He hates what he stands for. And he just wants to screw with him. And I'm like, yep, that's funny. That's a funny motivation for a villain, like, you know, this all powerful being who could do anything, be anywhere, go anywhere that he wants. And it's like, no, I just want to mess with this one guy, and I'm not allowed to mess with him anymore. So I have to find a way to mess with this guy some more. Like, I think that's really, really funny as a motivation for a villain like Mixy. But yeah, the rest of the episode, as you said, like, there's a little bit like, Bizarro just feeling betrayed, but one, it's kind of true. I mean, it's not the part where Superman's laughing at him in a living room with Lois Lane and Lex Luthor, but like the rest of it, I mean, he did pawn him off on this empty world with no one there to get rid of him. Like, so it's also like Superman's kind of little bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
Because, and I guess this is, there's no other option, because if you leave him on a populated world, he'll cause more damage than he helps. But it is like this weird thing where it's like, yeah, Bizarro does mean so well, and it's almost, he's almost like a child, and Superman's like, all right, now let me use knockout gas on you and send you back to this uninhabited planet with your weird alien dog and no one else. I don't know if you almost end up feeling bad for Bizarro somehow in this episode. So like I said, I think there's still fun to be had. I don't think it's as strong as the first Mixie episode by any means, and probably not as strong as either of the first two Bizarro episodes either. So but yeah, I think there's still a solid foundation here. Even if it's not maybe as great as it seemed when the idea was first introduced.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think there was any point that during the episode that I was bored. I laughed a whole bunch. So I think the dialogue sort of made up for some of the stuff that I pointed out that was like, maybe this was out of order. I do wonder, it would have been interesting, you know, in hindsight, if you could make some changes, or if I could make some changes to the episode. I wonder if it would have been more interesting if Mixie has to go back and his sentence is he has to help Superman ultimately corral Bizarro in a way, like a depowered Mixie has to help Superman in some way in defeating Bizarro and figuring out how to de-escalate the situation. Not that Superman necessarily would need him, or maybe you don't even depower Mixie, you just send him back and the sentence is that he has to help Superman, he has to help this being that he hates so much, and that's how he proves that he's gonna redeem himself, that he's worthy of coming back to the fifth dimension. I don't know. I feel like there's a couple of different ways you could have gone there that would have been a little bit more interesting than sending Mixie back just to be sort of the slapstick, physical humor for the last third of the episode. But with that said, you got plenty of funny dialogue out of those last couple scenes. So maybe you would have missed out on that if you had changed up some of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Liam, let's move on to our next category, which is going to be visuals and animation. And we have two interesting animation services here. So Jade Animation, you might recall, was responsible for two of our least favorite Superman the Animated Series episodes of all time, that being Unity and Superman's Pal. They're also responsible for The Terrible Trio, which did not get much love from us either, if you recall, from Batman the Animated Series. So, yeah, that's not one of our favorite animation studios. There's a reason why they didn't do too much, and they probably brought them along to do the other animation studio, which was Group TAC Co., which was only did four episodes, also worked on Unity, believe it or not, somehow, also worked on Superman's Pal. Yep. So these guys were like the Batman and Robin of terrible animation. If I do say so. They're like, you want a bad animated episode? Go with Jade / Group TAC. With that said, I think the main thing that I noticed, I'll go with my main critique of the episode. Everybody's a little stiff. There's a lot of scenes that you cut to and people don't move very much. People are just kind of standing there. It kind of looks like a character model with the face animated a little bit. Initially, when Superman first shows up, after Clark gets thrown out of the window, which I thought was a funny sequence, he falls down into a manhole, pops out of the other manhole as Superman, a classic Superman costume change. You got to love that. But yeah, I think when Superman lands back in the Daily Planet, I was like, oh, he kind of looks beefy, but on model, like he looks pretty solid. But Lois looks off almost immediately. What's that?
no nose on Lois Lane.
Yeah, that was really bizarre. Her eye, like her eye makeup on one of her eyes was really heavy. The other eye is not heavy at all. So she's got this big black circle. It kind of looks like she has a black eye. Bizarro is a goofy looking character, so I feel like they got away with a lot in the character model itself. Because and with Mixie, because they both share a lot of screen time together. So, you know, you don't have a lot. They kind of defy some of the laws of typical animation. So you kind of got away with some of that's the goofiness. But again, I think everybody, there's a lot of scenes where people are either standing still, not moving, or just kind of, there's very little motion or animation. And you have to wonder if that wasn't like a directive perhaps from right. people like, hey, we know you guys aren't great at doing these episodes, so keep the animation to a minimum here. Let's just try and get the models to look at least somewhat similar to what they should look like.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we don't have any of the really tough scaling problems that we had in either Terrible Trio, which as you mentioned is a Jade episode, or Superman's Pal. There's some really egregious ones in Superman Pal. I remember those off the top of my head. Like where somebody is just like too big or too small, or sometimes both from shot to shot. Didn't really notice any of that with the actual scaling of the characters. And yeah, I think Bizarro and Mixie look fine. It is, yeah, there's some shots of Superman. Anytime we get a close-up of Superman, I'm like, his ears are sticking out too much. And like there's like his face doesn't look quite right. Yeah, it's just like just something a little bit off, and I think in the Superman model. Though again, I would say overall this is probably the best. At least we have not covered Fish Story. That'll likely spoil over it becoming in December, assuming this Aquaman movie actually still comes out.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see. But the of these three Superman episodes that we've seen these two studios collab on now, I think this is the best one. And maybe that's because like in the middle portion we cut away from all the fighting and they get to just do that wacky bit as mentioned with the Mixie tribunal, the fifth dimension tribunal, which is kind of a fun sequence. And there's some fun little visual things I noticed in the episode we can talk about in positive. So yeah, I don't think this is not the worst outing we've seen from these two animation studios either separately or together, but it's still, there's still some, definitely some stuff that's off. Now to move on to some positives, one thing is when Gizby is giving her impassioned defense of Mixie, she produces different course documents at the snap of her fingers, including like an x-ray of Mixie's brain and some other like declaration of insanity. And then the third thing is a mock-up of an Action Comics cover, which is an actual real comic cover that they've DCAU-ified. It's from Action Comics number 80, which featured Mixie and Superman on the cover together. So I liked that little nod. And then I don't know if you picked up on this one, Cal, but Clark Kent, in his one appearance in this episode, he's wearing Bruce Wayne's suit. He's wearing a yellow shirt with a black tie and brown pants.
Yeah, I mean he must have raided Bruce's closet at some point. Bruce upgraded, as we know, in the redesign and went with the black suit with the white shirt and the red tie. So one has to assume that maybe he donated. You know, Clark's still working off of a reporter's salary, so maybe he felt bad for him and said, you know what, Clark. Yeah, I think if you take these to a tailor, you can get them, you know, maybe the shoulders taken out a little bit and the legs lengthened a little bit. But here you go. Here are my old suits. Sorry for stealing your love interest.
Yeah, and Clark's like, I'm not going to wear that weird brown jacket, but I'll wear the shirt. I won't wear that weird baggy brown blazer that you always used to wear, but I'll wear the rest of it. So
he works on his body. He's got the perfect male form, and he's gonna start up with the baggiest coat you've ever seen. Nah, that's not happening.
But yeah, I did enjoy that. I enjoy like the weird sonic weapons, and I like the fight in the museum. That's at least a fun set piece. He's when you know Bizarro's busting like caveman sculptures over his head and they're crashing through dinosaur bones. We get the return of the little piece of home dinosaur. The T-Rex is reused here as they destroy that once again. So yeah, I think there's some fun set pieces. I like seeing more of Bizarro's world, his weird little rock statues of everybody and his mock fortress, including, as you mentioned, the the Lex Luthor, which is like a big pearl on a head with like a leaf around its neck to represent a tie. Like, that's funny. I think there's some fun stuff, and especially on the background stuff, ironically, that our animation studios had nothing to do with, like the backgrounds and the character designs. But I think there's still some fun to be had here, but the off model stuff, especially, it's your main guy. If Superman is off model, it's gonna pull focus.
Sure.
For your episode. So I ended up settling on still probably higher than any visual score I've ever given this company before, with a 6 out of 10 for my visual score.
Hey, I gave it the exact same score. I will say the sequence that unnerved me the most, and I don't know if it was an animation error or something that was legitimately written into the script, but the very first scene where Crypto is reintroduced and he lunges at Bizarro, and Bizarro just sticks his hands in his throat and holds his hands in his throat for a little bit, and then hurls him by his uvula or whatever it is, uvula maybe, I forget what the dangly thing in the back of his mouth, whatever he hurls him across the room. Like, who chose that animation? Like, that did not make me feel good. But I loved the aforementioned Action Comics number 80 recreation, that the original cover by Wayne Boring and Stan Kay, from Action Comics 1945. Definitely worth Googling the cover, at least for a quick comparison. Very unsurprising that the creators of this show decided they wanted to homage an old Action Comics cover. I don't believe that particular issue follows anything that happens in this episode, other than Mixia's Spitlick returning to the after a brief absence. But I think. The fight that you mentioned, the little piece of home dinosaur showing up. He had a lot of falling in this episode. I think that was another thing. It was like, all right, we don't want you guys animating too much movement. So characters are going to fall a lot. Superman gets thrown a lot. He lands through a bunch of dinosaur bones. I briefly mentioned it sort of before, as he gets thrown through the tower at the end, the electrical lines, sort of homages the Fleischer Superman, I believe may have been the episode that we actually covered when we originally, I think we've only done one Fleischer Superman review thus far, but you can check that out in the archives, both at dcaureview.com on your favorite podcast app, or on the Pod Tower. But there's a pretty famous sequence where Superman gets tangled up in some power lines there and has to snap them to break free. And I believe this could have been probably not a not too subtle homage based on how much DNA of the Fleischer cartoons were in this Superman the Animated Series. So I loved seeing that. Always love shout outs to the Fleischer cartoons. I think there was not as many visual gags with Mixie, because he doesn't directly attack Superman, so you don't get as much of the comedy, him shifting into and changing, as we saw in Mixie's Pixelated. But for this episode, there is still some slapstick, some physical humor that he goes through. I love him driving around in his little tiny midget car when he first shows back up in Metropolis after Superman has taken a beating from Bizarro initially, and he kind of pulls up on Superman in this little tiny clown car and beeping his horn at him. Of course, you already mentioned the trial segment where we get the tribunal of Mixie looking characters. But then when he gets sent back to Earth and no longer has his powers, there's a sequence where Bizarro is begging Mixie to help transport them off of Earth, and Mixie has to break it to him that he doesn't have powers. And so Bizarro loses it at that point. So begins shaking Mixie by the lapels initially, and Mixie kind of goes back and forth, and then he sort of compacts him by pushing down on his head and his and on his feet, and just shakes him up and down, and there's this hilarious rattling noise. And then at the end, once we get the postscript of him doing his community service, you see that his suit is ripped and dirty from doing all of this hard labor in order to support Bizarro in his play attempts. So There's still some physical humor and some comedy that's included in it. So, we didn't get as much fun as we had in that first episode, but there's still the DNA of some Looney Tunes here, as you mentioned, with the wrapping up with the shot of him being chased up the tree and Crypto attempting to bite him in the ass at the end. So you gotta love the comedic elements of a Mixy episode. Unfortunately, we don't get any Mixy after this, despite potentially him wanting to be used later on. They never were able to bring him back for an episode. So no more Mixy after this episode, although he was used in some of the tie-in comics. We'll talk about maybe in a Mixy spotlight episode down the road, perhaps.
There you go.
All right, Liam, let's move on to our next category, which is going to be our music. And Lord, forgive me, I didn't write down who it was. Was it Shirley Walker this week? Because it certainly sounded like a Shirley Walker soundtrack.
It was actually Christopher Carter.
Mr. Carter did a wonderful job. I think kicking things off, the thing that I noticed the most, as I mentioned at the top, is the Superman theme that is once again played out of key. Mm-hmm. You get sort of a minor key version of the Shirley Walker theme, which designates that Bizarro is sort of the opposite of Superman. So you're not going to get the same heroic theme. It's going to be played in a little bit more sinister, sad, goofball type of way. We get some interesting, like, it's not quite a salsa. I'm trying to think. There's like a conga drum and some like upbeat. It's not jazzy. It's not salsa. Maybe like a mambo type theme. I'm not sure, but mm-hmm. we get something played when Mixy shows up that kind of livens things up. And as he and Superman have their first dialogue and Superman is questioning why he's back on Earth, the fight scene later on, I think at the museum, there's some more fight music that plays. I didn't note any Superman theme standout, except maybe in the initial change of clothes between Clark and Superman in the manhole, which was a great visual gag. But I didn't have a ton. There's a lot of mood setting music. I mean, the music is there. It plays a lot through the battle. The battle is the main part of the episode, as we talked about. So it's mm-hmm. there. There's a lot of fighting that occurs. It's a lot of strings. It's a lot of drums. You do get the Mixy theme sort of brought in. Mm-hmm.
To the fight scenes, there's also kind of like a brassy sound to it that gets brought into, I think, when the Bizarro Superman fight, both in the museum and then that kind of brassy, the horns kind of come back in right at the end when Mixy's running away from Crypto as well. So there's like this weird kind of, like big band brassy feel to some of the action beats as well.
Yeah. Gotta love that. It definitely mixes things up a little bit and provides a good, funny soundtrack. I think the soundtrack during the tribunal was interesting. It's, again, you have the Gispy theme that plays, the more straight horns that are brought in. And then both when she arrives and then as she's presenting her case before the tribunal. But yeah, it's a solid effort. I think that all things considered, it fits the episode well. I didn't have anything that stood out as good, great, or terrible for that matter, other than that opening sequence. So I went with a pretty solid 6 out of 10. What about you?
Yeah, actually, I really enjoyed the music in this episode. One, as you mentioned, they brought back that Bizarro theme, which is sort of this off-kilter, sharp, minor key version of it. Of the regular Superman, but we get a little bit more of it, because I feel like in the past we just kind of hear the crescendo, the do do do, but here they kind of play it almost from the beginning when those when the strings first come in and then the horns sort of slowly build and they build to the actual, so we get to hear like a more full rendition of we get Bizarro theme Taylor's version in this. And I really enjoyed hearing more of that off-kilter version of the Superman theme for Bizarro's world and using that as the soundtrack for that world. And then, as mentioned, I really liked the brassy sections and some of those action sequences I thought were a lot of fun. So, I ended up with a 8 out of 10, if I didn't say my
Nice.
My music score. I thought a great job by Mr. Carter, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, it's never, we talk about it every single time we do these, but it's never a bad score. There's never anything we're going to point to and go, man, this is awful. Well, maybe a Zeta Project episode or some of those early season Static tracks, but I digress. All right, Lane, let's wrap things up here with our final category of the week, which, of course, is going to be our list of voice actors, which isn't very long. We have obviously our lead plays two different characters that we'll talk about, and then we have a very small cast outside of that. But, of course, based on the size of the voices that are featured this week, we're going to have plenty to talk about here. Let's discuss this week's voice cast.
That's right. So some brief but familiar names. We have, of course, any episode where you got an animal, you know Frank Welker's in your cast. So you have Frank Welker as Crypto. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, he gets to provide the lovely, like, choking, gurgling noises when when Bizarro has his fist down his throat in that sequence there. But of course, we have the great Corey Burton, who is, as always, is playing like five different people in this. But yeah. Most importantly to this episode, he plays the head judge of the Fifth Dimension Tribunal. He's doing is that Bela Lugosi? He's doing like the very like Transylvanian, like,
yeah.
I don't know if that's Bela Lugosi or not. Someone let me know who he's being, please.
I just thought because the character looked like Sigmund Freud, it would be like, you know, do a Sigmund Freud impersonation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe it's
whatever, like German, Austrian, whatever.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely got that Eastern European flavor to it. Mm-hmm. But yes, always good to see him here. We have Jennifer Hale as our voice for Gisby, replacing our previous voice actor. She doesn't get as much to do in this one, but I do. Like I said, we did as we'll talk about more when we get to Mr. Gottfried's performance. Her interaction with Mixie in the museum is pretty fun, where she's just kind of laying out, where she's like, I haven't done anything wrong. And then she just sort of very matter-of-factly lays out like 10 things that he's done wrong. That's going to get the ire of this council, and then tries valiantly to defend him, but is ultimately, as mentioned, turned into a palm tree for her troubles.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Miss Hale in this episode. Another funny, very minor role there. In when they first get to the museum, there's like a class field trip going on, and there's a teacher talking about the dinosaurs or cavemen or whatever, played by Susan Blakeslee. And I only mention that because she's the voice pretty like phenomenally long-running Nickelodeon cartoon The Fairly Odd Parents. She voices Wanda on that show. So just this weird, it's always fun like when the Dan Castellaneta has popped up in a few random times playing mm-hmm. like a priest or mm-hmm. or somebody's dad. So it's always funny when these like really well-known or really long-running voice actors just pop up for a cup of coffee in a scene in one of our episodes here, but fun to have her there.
Voice acting real royalty, you might say, based on
absolutely
length of time playing one role. Yeah, her line of once a savage beast, man is now a civilized creature. And of course, it's that moment that she's sort of talking about this caveman display. Superman and Bizarro come crashing in, and then Bizarro uses one of the cavemen to break over Superman's head. So yeah, very, very, very funny.
Oh, also mentioned that teacher also dressed like Janet Van Dorn.
They kept it simple for these animation studios. They're like, listen, just do this, okay? Just don't mess it up.
Just pantsuit with the with that little bolo tie thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, and then of course we have our main two actors. We do briefly also have, of course, the great Dana Delaney as Lois Lane, though she doesn't get much to do here. We have our main two. We have, of course, Gilbert Gottfried, the late Gilbert Gottfried, as Mixie Spitlick returning. And, of course, the great Tim Daly pulling double duty as both Superman and Bizarro. And this is, like, I think, testing the limits of how much of Tim Daly, as good as I think the Tim Daly Bizarro voice is, of how much I can listen to it in one 22 minute cartoon. Because a lot of this episode is he's Bizarro for a lot more of this episode than he is Superman. And him bouncing off an equally over the top and loud and the famously sort of shrieking voice of Gilbert Godfrey. This is not the most, like, even though I think their performances are good, this is not necessarily the most pleasant or relaxing episode to listen to.
Agreed. Yeah, I think it's not Mr. Daly's fault. Certainly, he's performing the character as directed, and he's performing both of his characters extremely well. It's just, as you mentioned, like testing the limits of how much you can handle that version of that character speaking in that way for almost the full 22 minutes of the episode, because it starts with Bizarro. He's there for everything except that little tribunal scene, and then he's there for the rest of it. So it is wall to wall nearly Bizarro voice for the entire episode. So yeah, that not Mr. Daly's fault whatsoever. I get the opportunity to talk about just how impressive it is for a voice actor or actress to perform multiple roles, different versions of the same character, as is the case with this episode. I try and point it out. So no exception this week. It is always impressive. But he had less Superman to do this week because Superman doesn't have as much dialogue. So a lot of hangs on the Bizarro performance. But I think the huge shadow that looms over it, of course, is Mr. Godfrey's Mixie Spitlick once again. You know, you can't have Gilbert Godfrey in a role and him not just sort of overshadow everything. Like, it's just his shadow is just everywhere. And we talked about it in the first episode. Say what you want about the person of Gilbert Godfrey, definitely a very controversial person, had a lot of things that maybe were not very likable, said some things that were not very kind, did some things that maybe weren't very kind. But as far as legendary voice actors, it's really, really hard to beat him. Like,
yeah.
Iago in Aladdin, a huge part of everybody who probably grew up watching this show's childhood. And then just
to have such a recognizable voice, but it's not distracting.
Yeah.
Because you imagine, like, I don't know, say Arnold Schwarzenegger played Mr. Freeze or something crazy like that. Like, that would be really distracting in the wrong movie or television show, because it's such a recognizable voice. And here's Gilbert Godfrey, maybe the most recognizable, like, voice actor, you know, just by tone of voice in at least in, like, modern animation history. And it's like, it works, though. Like, you don't think, oh, that's Gilbert Godfrey doing a voice. You didn't go, oh, that's Mixie. Or like you said, that's the Iago from Aladdin or whoever. Like, they like the way that he somehow embodies the role despite having such a signature and obvious voice is pretty incredible.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, he didn't have as much to do in this episode. The first episode, Mixie's Pixelated, was so much Gilbert Godfrey that it was hard, you know, it was almost distracting at points because it was Gilbert Godfrey doing a lot of shtick, doing a lot of loud screaming, interacting with the quiet, understated Tim Daly voice. And this, it is him bouncing off of Tim Daly's Bizarro, and you know, he's a little bit more on the ropes, a little less comedic at times, a little bit, I guess, different style of comedy versus, you know, the Looney Tune villain that's getting foiled constantly and frustrated in that first episode. This is him sort of thinking that he's got Superman right where he wants him, getting bested, and then having to deal with the consequences of his comeuppance. It's a little bit different of the way that the character was portrayed, but still really, really strong. I think once the tribunal happens and he sort of is on his heels and realizes that he's finally getting what he's owed,
I think it's a different type of performance, as he now realizes he doesn't have the powers to back him up. He's kind of lost a little bit of his hubris. So Mr. Godfrey adjusted perfectly and really ultimately continued to fill the shoes of a character defining performance there. So yeah, all things considered, it's a lot of Bizarro, so I don't think I could give it a perfect score, but I ended up giving it a very strong 9 out of 10. What about you?
Yeah, I just went 1 point lower. I went 8 out of 10. I think, like I said, I think there's a lot of good in here. Like I already said, we talked about it in plot, but just Mixie's manifesto or mission statement that he gives about how, you know, birds got to fly and fish got to swim, and I've just got to mess with this dude until I'm dead because I hate him so much. It's so funny, and him just screaming, "He's a bum!" I tell you, he's a bum, as he's being carted away or sentenced to his community service is great. So yeah, just really, really strong episode. Like I said, maybe you kind of sacrifice, like you said, a little bit of Tim Daly's performance as Superman, and maybe a little bit of, you know, you don't get as much screen time with Mr. Godfrey as Mixie this time, as they're you know, it's a double feature, so to speak. So yeah, you get a little bit less of a good thing in some ways, but still a very strong performance from all of our voice actors.
There you go. All right, Liam, let's total things up now as we wrap things up for the episode. And totaling up my scores, I end up with a 28 out of 40. What about you?
Yeah, I think I ended up just 1 point higher than you at a 29 out of 40.
All right. So as we talk about rewatchability, as we do each and every week, as I mentioned at the top, it does wrap up the quote unquote Bizarro trilogy. As we wrap things up here, Bizarro does return later on in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, I think. Both series, right? Or is it just Justice League Unlimited?
I think it's just JLU.
Okay. So he does return, you know, kind of without any pomp or circumstance or explanation as to why. But he does return later on. So not the end of our story here. It is an interesting clash of styles here between, Bizarro and Mixie Spitlick. It's a follow-up to the Mixie story. I almost want to give this 2 thumbs up, but I don't think it's the grand scheme of things. It's not, if you missed this episode, you kind of had the bow wrapped up on both of those characters. So it's kind of like extra dessert after a good meal. So maybe you don't need it, but you know, it does kind of add some entertainment. It does wrap up the Bizarro story with a funny little bow, and you get some bonus Mixie thrown in. So I don't know. I'd give it a 1 thumb up. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a couple of recurring villains, and puts a bow on the Bizarro trilogy, as you said. So yeah, I think this can get 1 thumb up for rewatchability.
There we go. All right, Liam, well, that began to wrap us up for this week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget, if you did not check out our episode last week and you are feeling interested in the talking about The Flash with The Flash movie debuting in theaters this weekend, check out our last week's episode, which was the DCAU Character Spotlight featuring the DCAU Flash, of course, Wally West. We talk about his appearance in Superman the Animated Series, as well as his first appearances in Justice League. On top of that, we talk a little bit about some tie-in comics and some action figures and some toys and other stuff. So give that a listen if you haven't. You can check that out on your favorite podcast app, whether that's Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, whichever one you listen to, check it out on there. And while you're there, why don't you give us a subscribe and leave us a review if it allows you to do so, like they do on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review. That helps us out. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts and feel compelled to leave us a little blurb or paragraph telling people what you enjoy about the program, we would definitely appreciate that. Don't forget, as we also mentioned at the top, subscribe to the Pod Tower, youtube.com/thePodTower. Not only will you get our episodes delivered to you each and every week if you listen to your podcasts on YouTube, but you'll also get your content from the Watchtower database with their Jump on the Batwagon, and you can access the entire Tim Talk archives while you're there
as well. Additionally, if you want to support the podcast, there are a couple of ways to do so. If you check out the show notes, there's a link to our store. You can pick yourself up a piece of merchandise. There's also a direct link if you want to buy myself and Liam a coffee to subscribe to us monthly. Hey, we appreciate that. If you choose to support us, we appreciate those that do choose to support us every single month. And if you would consider that, that would be great. Last couple of free ways to support us, of course, is following us on social media at DCAU Review, and tell your friend about the show. If you know somebody that likes the DCAU, send them our way. And you can always tweet us at DCAU Review on Twitter, where Liam, we will be talking this week about what we'll be covering on our next episode.
That is right. And with it being, as mentioned, we've already done our character spotlight episode this month. And with so few episodes featuring the Man of Steel in the DCAU proper left, we will once again next week be looking around the multiverse for an Elseworlds adventure. And believe it or not, this is actually the first time we visited this series. I think we've talked about it off the air a few times, but the time is right. We will be heading for the first time to the world of Justice League Action, and we will be looking at a pair of episodes, as these ones run a little bit shorter in total runtime. We will be looking at a couple of Superman appearing episodes, those episodes being Follow That Space Cab and Galaxy Jest. So go ahead and load those up. They're pretty quick watches. So look forward to diving into a brand new series. I don't know how many of these we had left on our docket. So exciting to break into this this new world of Justice League Action next week.
Yes, indeed. I look forward to it, as I do each and every week with you, Liam, on this new venture on a new Elseworld. But until then, I'm Cal.
And I'm Liam.
And we will talk to you on the next episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.